This morning, the words of our text are taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You may be seated. Faculty and staff are going to be a little bit familiar with what I'm about to say. In our best-selling business book, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, author Patrick Lencioni lays out five principles necessary for any healthy organization. In sharing his principles, he makes the assertion that having a healthy organization is the single most important factor in determining the success of any team. More important than excellent strategy, more important than healthy financial backing of the organization, or more important than having all of the resources necessary in carrying out the work of that organization. What Lencioni says makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? An organization will not get far if the members of the team can't work together. Now, Lencioni was not the first person to ever talk about healthy organizations. In the first century, God, through the Apostle Paul, wrote about the topic of healthy teams in the Epistle to the Ephesians. The section heading from which our text is drawn this morning is entitled, Living as Children of Light. It begins in verse 17 of chapter 4 and runs through chapter 5. What we need to understand about Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and central to that opening point that I made, is that Paul's audience in this letter are people that are already Christians. He's writing to the Christian congregation in Ephesus. Knowing that, you could say that he's giving them and us as New Testament Christians an admonition to live in Christian fellowship. Paul approaches the topic on how to live among Christians, or how to function well as a team, you might say, by contrasting for the Ephesians the social impurity of their old way of life as unbelievers or as children of the darkness with a life worthy of the calling that they now have as children of light. Beginning in verse 17, Paul lays out many specific guidelines to promote Christian living among this congregation. For example, to put off deceitful desires, to put off falsehood and to instead speak truthfully, to not go to bed in anger, to not steal but rather do something useful with one's own hands, to not let unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, to get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander. Paul then concludes this rather law-orientated section of Scripture with the words of our text, a summary for how we are to live as Christians, as children of light, and then follows that up with a statement of motivation for this lifestyle. Listen again to our text. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Paul's call for kindness, compassion, and forgiveness is a call also for us, in our words and in our actions, to come to the aid of fellow Christians and to give to one another as needed. Now that need may be instruction. Maybe it's consolation and comfort. Maybe even it might be admonition. And that whatever it be that we give to our fellow Christian in need, that it be understood that when we do so, we're being a blessing to further the faith in that fellow Christian. Now, just as Lencioni's principles make sense for a well-functioning organization, even more so do Paul's guidelines to use our speech and our actions to serve one another. And isn't that what we would want on our Bethany campus? In light of what God through Christ has done for us, to live in God's grace by living lives as in service to one another as children of light. But you know, the law is meant to point out sin. And as I thought about today's text, I quickly began to realize the many times in my own life when I've fallen short as living as a child of light. It began to make sense why Paul would go to such lengths here in Ephesians to say, you really need to do this. Live as children of light. So when I examined my own life, I recall the times when I didn't live up to that high calling. I'm reminded of the times that I especially turned away from serving those in need and instead was focused on my own self-serving needs. There were times where I saw someone in need, and instead of helping, I thought about my own agenda, my own priorities, what I wanted to do that day. For these things, I'm deeply penitent. I'm embarrassed. I'm humbled and daily in need of God's forgiveness. How about you? Have you also at times been self-serving rather than selfless in serving God's people? Have you carried a grudge against a roommate, a classmate, a teammate, a professor, an RA, a resident manager, staff person, campus security? Rather than being tender-hearted, have you ever conveyed an attitude toward those in need to just figure it out for yourself, when compassion was clearly what was needed? Have we befriended those around us, the isolated doormate, the lone person at the dining hall table, the classmate feeling down to life's circumstance? Like me, I'm guessing that we all must confess our sins and our need for daily repentance and forgiveness. Clearly, Paul's use of the law in this text serves as a mirror to really reflect back at us our own failures in keeping God's commands. The need for Paul's admonition to live lives worthy of the calling as a child of the light is clear. And as a result, in penitence for all of these sins, we plead for God's mercy. Among those whom God has redeemed, there just can't be room for Christians who treat those of the family of believers as victims of our own self-assertions, as exploited by falsehood or gossip, as assaulted by anger, diminished by thievery, or degraded by evil talk. Instead, we need to treat one another as precious in God's eyes and as co-heirs of the gift of eternal life. But then just when the law has penetrated our conscience and brought us to repentance, Paul concludes the verse of our text with the blessed news of the gospel by pronouncing these words, just as in Christ, God has forgiven you. The good news of the gospel. That's just what this soul needs as I reflect on my own life and what all of us as sinful humans need. It's to real sinners like us that the gospel reaches out. The proof of God's undeserved love for us, enemies of God in our sinful human condition, is Christ, whose death brought us back in sync with God himself. Just as God, through his Son Jesus, shows us his immeasurable love, we now have the example and the motivation to show immeasurable love to our neighbors, to students, to staff, to faculty, to constituents of Bethany, and frankly to all. In the verse following our text, Paul calls for us to be imitators of God, therefore as dearly loved children, and to live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. As among those who are sealed by the Holy Spirit, as dearly loved children of God, be imitators, to keep unity in the church, to serve one another with the gifts and the talents that we've each received from God, to assist through our words and actions in the growth of God's kingdom. May our words and our actions of kindness, compassion, and forgiveness bring to others what we have received from God himself through the work of his Son Jesus. Not unwillingly or grudgingly, but graciously and willingly, especially among those of the family of believers. To his glory and for his people, may we live as children of light. Amen. We'll bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in your word you give us guidelines for Christian living, to be kind, compassionate, and forgiving. You also give us your example. Through the work of your Son, Jesus, you have shown us your great love for us while we were still your enemies. We confess we have failed in these areas and ask daily for your grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Continue to renew us each day to live as children of the light, so that we may be a blessing to others and to the growth of your kingdom. We ask these things in the name of your Son, our Savior. Amen.